Smart Ass Jewelry.
Hey, Steve, Bob from RDI. How are you?
Bob, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good.
Good.
Everything good down there?
It's been slow today.
Has it?
Yeah.
I see you're having a nice, sunny, warm day today.
We are. I had to put on a... We got the air going on in here, and they got cold in here.
I was going to say, it says it's 80 degrees and sunny where you are.
Yeah.
We're okay for Rochester, but it's getting colder. Well, it's 55 right now. For us right now, it's pretty good.
Yeah, well, good.
But it's going to be in the 30s tomorrow.
Oh, gosh.
And then 40s on Saturday and maybe low 50s on Sunday. Low 50s this time of year in upstate New York is really nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the high?
Yes, yeah.
That's the high, okay.
Yeah. See, when you're used to it being cold, I mean,
yeah.
I was at 55, I walked out, I just have a shirt on, nothing,
yeah.
Shirt and pants, and I walked out to the mailbox, and I was plenty warm like that.
For
you, that would be cold probably, you know, low 50s, because you're not used to that. But, you know, it's all relative. In the summertime, when you're up to, 90s, and it's, 90% humidity, and you're dying there, it'll be 70s and 80s here, and it'll be perfect. So it kind of levels out. We don't get a whole lot of days like in the 90s. Very, very seldom get to 100. But our highs in the summertime are normally, in the 80s. And so it's pretty comfortable.
I guess most people do have air conditioners up there, or they don't.
They have. It's probably... If you don't have, air in the house, you probably have at least a couple of window air conditioning units.
Okay.
But we all have heating units, for sure.
Yeah.
I added last September, I put in a split unit. You know, it's a heat pump. It cools in the – it won't get cold, but it won't get – if in the middle of winter time, it's probably not. I mean, you could probably heat the house with it, but I also have baseboard water heat. So I did this really more for the air conditioning part and just to get some air circulation. You know, like this time of year when it's in the 50s, I can turn the regular, the baseboard water heat down to like 40 in the house, and just put this unit on, and it'll warm the whole house.
Wow.
Yeah, it cost me $12,000.
When does the snow quit up there usually?
Typically, the average is like the first or second week of April. That's the last snowfall. But when you get into March, like where we are right now, it's rare to get significant snow. If you get snow, it might be an inch or two, and it's gone either that day or the next day. So it warms up usually to the point where snow doesn't stick around, somewhere around the second or third week of March, typically.
Yeah.
But you can get snow. I've seen snow up here. I remember times when we got snow up here the first week of May even.
Wow.
But that's a rarity, and it's in and out. We have, like, if you're growing plants like tomatoes and stuff like that, they tell you up this way not to put them in the ground until Memorial Day. The end of May, because you can still get a frost.
Okay.
But I don't have a regular garden anymore. I only had a small garden at one time. Now all I've got is I got a series of about a dozen very large pots that I put on my – I have a deck on the back of my house. My daughter and I built, like, three or four years ago, that's 700 square feet. It's gigantic.
Wow, yeah.
And so I've got these some pots out there, and I put tomatoes and a few different kinds of plants out there, and so I can get those in. I usually put them in around Mother's Day, and if it looks like it's going to be a frost that night, I just bring them under my gazebo that has like the vinyl curtains around it. And I can put that on there, and then I can just throw like a little space heater in there, and it'll protect them.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Now, do you get lake effect snow there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It depends on which way the wind's blowing. If it comes out of the north or out of the, let's say, the northwest, then we can get some significant snow. But generally, the winds up here are coming out of the west that carry most of the snow. And so we don't really get a whole lot of lake effect snow when it's out of the west. Where they get that is south of Buffalo and north of Syracuse. You can get lake effect snow from up in those areas. You can get like 2, 3, 4 feet of snow in in a major snowfall. But it's pretty rare for us to get that. We do get 100 inches of snow a year, though, on average.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But that's spread out over normally December, January, and February. So, yeah. We got our share this year, for sure. We got over 100 inches this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We were at one point, I think in somewhere in January, Rochester was the number two snowiest city in the country, behind behind our next door neighbor Syracuse.
Yeah. Now, do y'all have any kind of mountains there that do skiing?
No, not close to here. We're right on Lake Ontario. And so this area has been gouged out. There's like the Finger Lakes just south of here. And there's like a bunch of – they're big lakes, but they're not like Lake Ontario. You know, they're big lakes, but some of them run, you know, 5 to 10 miles long, and some of them run 30 miles long, you know, and they're, you know, a mile wide in some cases, and they have a lot of water in them. They're pretty substantial lakes. But those aren't big enough to produce lake effect snow or anything like that. But that is the only areas that are kind of hilly. They're not mountainous. They're just hilly in those in those Finger Lake areas.
Okay.
But the closest mountains are the, you know, the like where Lake Placid is and stuff like that. That's about 150 miles to the east of us.
Okay.
That's the Adirondack Range.
Cool.
That's part of the Appalachians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to come up into that area at some point.
I'll tell you what, May is the most beautiful time of the year here. Late May, if you were coming up this way to take a look around, come late May to beginning to like second week of June, it is absolutely gorgeous up this way.
Okay.
If you came in the, if you came like middle of May, it's before the bugs are out. And you can really enjoy it. Then as you get through May and start getting into June, now you got mosquitoes and everything else too. But yeah, I love May the best myself. And we've got some real good festivals. We got the that time of year we usually have the Lilac Festival here in Rochester. A lot of live music and Highland Park. I grew up right next to Highland Park, and lilacs are everywhere up there.
That's the purple flowers.
Yep, purple. Yeah, there's actually varieties of them, too. There's some of them that are, like, striped with purple and white. There's some that are all pink, but they're all that kind of tone. They're in that range, pinks and purples.
And that's usually when they're blooming really pretty?
Yeah, usually around the middle of May is when they come into bloom. And when I was a kid, it was Lilac Sunday. And since then, they turned it into like a two-week event, you know. So there's all kinds of live music, and it's a pretty cool thing.
And is that in Rochester, or is that?
Yep, right here in Rochester. Yep.
Okay. Well, cool. Well,
if you ever come up this way, let me know. There's
I
a
will.
Lot of things to do. You don't have any little kids, do you?
No.
No, your kids are all grown up because there's a. And it, actually, it's worth it for adults to go, too, but there's also the Strong Museum of Play, where you go in that place and you'll see displays, things of toys you had when you were a kid and your kids and grandkids and stuff like that. Yeah, they got a working McDonald's inside there where you can actually walk around and see what they look like because it's such a big part of growing up. You know, in the last, you know, 50 years, McDonald's. And they got so many cool things. They got a whole room full of pinball machines, and it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
When we had our event up here a few years ago, one of the things we did is that just to entertain people, we took them all to a closed session. We had the place to ourselves. It was a blast. Everybody loved it. Anything I can do for you today?
I wish I did. It's
all right.
Quiet.
Yeah, all right.
I could almost take a nap.
I do. You know what? I work from home. At lunchtime, I go and take a nap. I go lay down and just, it's the best. I absolutely love taking a nap. My wife thinks I'm crazy, but they say that all the biggest geniuses, Thomas Edison, Einstein, they all did it. They all did it. They all said it was the best thing they could do is just take a break in the middle of the day and go lay down for a while.
Yep, that's the problem.
I love it.
Siestas like they do at the...
Yeah. That's a real thing. I mean, especially for farmhands, they're up early and they have to work kind of late. You know, to have that siesta, get some recharge so they can work again after it.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fun. My wife thinks that, you know, what if people heard that you take a nap or something like that? And I said, I don't give a shit.
Now, does she still work or is she retired?
No, she really hasn't worked since my oldest daughter was born in 1975.
Right.
Yeah, she did pearl stringing for a number of jewelers around town for many years, and I would go around to the jewelry stores and pick them up and bring them home and then deliver them, you know, when she was done with them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only work she did outside of it. But then she took care of my grandkids too, you know. So after our kids grew up, it was a little bit of a break in there, and then grandkids came along, and
mm-hmm.
so she was.
That's what. You remember Alan and Nancy that had lemons, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Nancy does. She does my pearl restringing for me.
Yeah. She can't do it anymore. She couldn't. You know, every once in a while, you know, we're connected to that company MDJ.
Mm-hmm.
You probably see, you know, things coming in the your email.
Yeah, I think I get an email from them all the time.
Yeah, well, they're part of our. They're more or less related to our company. But every once in a while, Dominic will call me up and says, "You think your wife can restring something for me?" You know,
yeah.
As long as it's not too bad, she'll do it. But she's got arthritis in her hands. That's why she stopped doing it, because it hurt too much. So, but once in a while, if Dominic really needs something, you know, she'll do it for him.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
They do auctions or something, don't they?
They will buy, he's bought things through auctions.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a lot of overruns. They'll buy estate pieces. They'll buy stuff from people like you. Like if you got something that you bought from somebody off the street that you can't move, they've got a program that's called, what the hell does he call it? There's some, it's something clever like Love It or Melt It or something like that. So what you can do is, like, if you've got stuff in your inventory and you want him to take a look at it, he'll send you a label. You send it to him. He'll look it over and he'll tell you, yeah, this is good. Keep this one. Sell this one. You can probably get, and he said, this one's not good for anything. You might as well melt this one. He'll make decisions like that for you, let you know what to do, and he'll make an offer on them. If it's something that he thinks he can move, he may buy it from you. If it's something that he's not sure of, he'll say, listen, I can put it into my system and try to sell it for you, and we'll give you, you know, whatever for it.
Yeah.
But it works out pretty good because he picks up a lot of stuff. The overruns he gets from companies like Tacori, and he's got pipelines into all these places. So, like, if Tacori, you know, ends something, you know, they discontinue it. It's a style that they're not selling anymore. He might buy it for, you know, for 40 cents on the dollar or something like that. And then it allows him to resell it to people that are not regular Tacori vendors for a much lower price. So, yeah, he's got some – you can always find some good deals in there. All the stuff he's got, and everything is – He expects a percentage of it to sell, but if you ever want to do like a trunk show or something like that, you can actually go right on MDJ, pick the stuff that you want to show, and then the only thing he'll say, you know, take whatever you want, but don't take things that you don't think are going to sell, and commit to keeping at least, you know, 10% or whatever.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it works out pretty good because you get to pick the goods. It's not like he's going to just send you the shit he wants to get rid of. You can actually look right on the MDJ Advantage online. And look through it. If you see stuff that you think might work out as a, you know, you want to sell it for a weekend or something like that, that works for him.
I wasn't sure who that was. I started getting emails from him, and some of the stuff looked very interesting, and then I wasn't sure. So
he's got some stuff that's got some interesting stories behind it, too. And if you've never talked to Dominic, it's a hoot. He's also part of a jewelry historian type things, and he's got a story about every single piece he's got there. he likes to look for stuff that's got some provenance to it, like this was owned by Elizabeth Taylor, or this was owned by this, you know, and it's got some documentation to go with it, or there's stories to everything, and Dominic is like an encyclopedia when it comes to that stuff.
Wow. And he's in Rochester, too?
Oh, yeah. I've known Dominic for 40 years, And he's partners with Mike on the MDJ. That's the M that's in MDJ is Mike. That's the owner of RDI.
Okay. Who's the J?
The J is it's him, Dominic, and there used to be another guy named, what the hell was his name? Jeff, I think it was. He was the original one that started it. And now the J stands for Dominic bought more of it, bought him out. So the J now stands for his wife, Jennifer.
Okay.
And, he used to work for Gordon Brothers. That's where he got his expertise from, you know, and what to buy and what to sell and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, he was one of Gordon Brothers' top salespeople. And actually, that's where the original Jeff came from. That's what Jeff did. I think the original Jeff was the buyer for Gordon Brothers.
Okay.
And so the two of them partnered up with Mike and created MDJ. But he was older, and I think he just wanted to retire then after a few years.
Yeah. Okay. Well, goodness. Well, I'll start looking at it again.
Yeah, take a look at it. And you have credit with us, so you'll automatically get credit with them. The only thing is you have to fill out their paperwork because they have to have data on you. But, you know, you don't have to worry about if you'll have credit because, especially being my customer, you know, it's, I get credit for that, too, by the way. Just
okay,
case.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get on there and look next time they send me an email.
Yeah, why not? He's always sending stuff out because he's always buying, constantly buying.
All right, sounds good.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.